Obviously, looking at that quarterly report, some record numbers we're talking about. Talk to me. What were some of the factors behind what we're seeing in that first quarter?
Well, you're right, Don. It was a record first quarter for CHS at about $452 million of earnings for the quarter. Really came in a couple of ways. One is, as you recall from our last year's results, we really suffered in our energy segment as the impacts from the pandemic around the world and slower use of energy products because people weren't traveling and so forth. Well, some of that came back in this first quarter as we saw economies return to momentum and people were out moving again. So our energy side had a nice turnaround over the last year. But then in addition, we just continue to see really strong performance from our ag side of the business, both in our processing side of soybeans into soybean oil, which is driven a lot by this renewable diesel markets that are going explosive right now. But also in our fertilizer segment, as your listeners know well, fertilizer prices have just been moving upwards at tremendous velocity. So that's return to earnings for us. Now the benefit of being a cooperative is the people that buy from us, as those earnings come through our income statement, we return those back to the people that buy from us. So it's working as a cooperative as it should.
You talk about fertilizer, certainly with CHS's investment with CF. You get a firsthand look at what's happening in this fertilizer business as we get queued up for spring, both for ag retailers and farmers. How do you see this crop nutrition situation shaping up?
Well, it's really a big, it's a good question. I think nobody's got a crystal ball, given the kind of movement that we've seen on fertilizer prices. But I would say this, I mean, at least as we look out through spring, we don't see this thing tipping over and dropping back to numbers that we've seen in the past. I mean, it still looks to be strong through the spring, just given some of the factors that are driving it down. When you think about those factors, they just include some fundamental things that need to reset. For example, natural gas prices around the world are higher than natural gas prices here in the U.S., and that's crimping actually the fertilizer margins around the world, and that's resulting in less production around the world on a time when demand is really high. In addition, we had our own impacts from Hurricane Ida that are still recovering. And then third, you put in a really, really strong fall that we just completed with just tremendous demands on top of those supply headaches have run these prices like they have. And we really don't see that resetting a tremendous amount in the next couple of months through spring. But we do know this, the markets work. Whenever commodities of this nature get ahead of themselves too much, markets work and they reset. So we do believe there is a day coming when we will see that. But we really don't see that reset prior to spring.
We talked about it, I think, at your annual meeting, these product shortages that we're dealing with, everything from some crop protection products to computer chips. It's facing a lot of different areas. How do you see that going into spring? How do you handle reaching your farmer customers with some of those challenges?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, the teams are got full shoulders behind buying as much in advance, coming up with alternatives and contingency planning. If we find we our plan doesn't unfold, so what do we do then? But we feel good about our inventory position going into spring. We've done a lot of advance work. We've put a lot of inventory in already, getting ready for spring. But things do need to fall into place the way we expect. But I think that's what you can do is have contingency plans in place, be a bit more preemptive than you may have been in the last years. Buy it, get it, put it in your shed so you know you have it. I mean, this is a year, I think, for farmers, retailers, and because it is steps we are taking in this particular year to essentially give you that hedge that you've got it. And I just would advise listeners to do that more this year than maybe they have in past years.
There's so many big issues out there, some of those that we're talking about here, but you look at high commodity prices, and then that's offset by some high input costs. Managing risk in this kind of environment, whether you're a farmer or ag retailer or the world's largest co-op. That's got to be a pretty big lift there.
It is. But, you know, at the same time, people in agriculture have seen some of these environments before, you know, higher commodity prices and then input prices come up around it, and land prices and rent prices. I mean, we've seen some of this before. You know, people that have been doing this a long time kind of know that, you know, they got to be careful during times like this, but still stay close to their plans, marketing plans, thinking about prices and locking in things that have a margin to it, because, you know, the future is just going to be a bit unpredictable when it comes to commodity prices and droughts around the world and seeing how the South American crop comes off the field, which is still a question. And, you know, all those factors are going to be very much in play, but I would just encourage people to stay to their marketing plans and their procurement plans, because this is a year that that I think they really will be the best hedge.
So SCHS looks out, you know, the balance of this year. We've got some big macro issues out there, inflation, interest rates likely will get up a couple notches here. What's your expectation for this ag economy with some of those kind of more global issues impacting us?
You know, I think, Don, I think the window for agriculture looks strong. It looks good. I think, you know, our global demands for soybeans, for corn, for wheat, for sugar beets, for products that are, you know, in our backyards, I think it looks strong. We got a world that wants more and more of it. The U.S. farmer can compete with anyone around the world. They can compete with anyone around the world. And, you know, yeah, these input costs go up, but board prices are strong. And I think the outlook is really good. The trade flows are occurring more what I'll call normally that we've seen in the past. So we our exports off the Pacific Northwest are very strong, and off the Gulf Coast very strong, which is the signals that I look for strength within the agricultural economy, that those market forces are working. Buyers around the world are coming to the U.S., and the U.S. farmer is able to compete well against that. I really think we've got a nice outlook for U.S. agriculture.
Is some of that port congestion easing up somewhat?
It is somewhat. You know, I won't speak to computer chips and television sets that might be sitting out in containers off Long Beach. But really, you know, our transportation routes for ag commodities are working pretty well. You know, this cold weather you and I talked about just a little bit ago, you know, that's going to hamper a little bit of rail traffic, I assume. But ships being loaded off the Pacific Northwest and the Gulf Coast. Gulf Coast has recovered a lot from the hurricane, not completely, but a lot. And really, you know, our shipment movements are working pretty well.
That's good to hear after all the bottlenecks we've seen in the supply chain and such to at least see some movement there.
Yeah, it is. But to your earlier question, you know, some of the, you know, crop protection product, you know, those items might be sitting in a container off Long Beach. So we're not immune to it, but at least the ag commodities leaving the ports are working pretty well.